The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Kind of a gloomy, ugly day outside today, but, you know, nevertheless, I'm going to brighten up your hopes, and we're going to talk about some things that might make clarity a better description of what goes on in your brain. So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about your brain, your memory, the fogginess that's, you know, seems to be settling in for so many of us these days, and which is the topic of our in-house continuing education program this coming Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. And I would normally at this point invite you and say, hey, listen, join us. But guess what? We're full house. As a matter of fact, we're over full house. And I want to kind of urge you that if you've signed up and you've registered for the class and you're not going to be able to attend, please give us a call so we can open that space for somebody else. It's going to be a very fascinating program. And you know me, I'm going to be there leading the program, and I'm going to be talking about some things that a lot of people don't want to talk about. We're even going to talk about what happened with COVID and how it affected the brain and memory loss and why things seem to be a little bit more scrambled. But you know what? I have somebody who I have tremendous admiration, going to kind of team teach with me, and none other than Dr. Qinglong Zhang. And he's here today on the program. Good morning, sir, or afternoon, I guess it is at this point. We have a fascinating time coming up this week. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to co-teach with you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Rozelle. Good afternoon, everybody in front of the radio program. So I'm Dr. Zhang. I'm very happy to be with Dr. Rozelle on Wednesday to talk about a brain fog and a memory loss.
You know, it's something that when it comes to memory patterns, there's an anticipation, unfortunately, in society that as we get older, that we should expect that we're not as sharp, we're not as clear, we don't have the capacity relative to our memory that we did when we were younger. And that's not the truth, is it? We should have a very strong memory no matter what.
That's not true. So I have a patient over 90 years old that's brain sharp as mine. So I have a patient probably 40 years old, 50 years old, and they had a lot of brain fog, had a short memory loss, had a lot of brain dysfunction. So they're saying, okay, if you're aging, everybody's aging. So if you're aging, your brain function, your memory will be developed loss. That's not true. The true thing is you do not know what is behind, why it happened, and then how do you do something to prevent the memory loss and the brain fog?
You know, that's the important thing too. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night, we're not only going to walk through what happens and show you, you know, the slow process of deterioration, but we're also going to talk about what you can do to prevent it and what you can do to fix it. And there's so much that you can do. Now, the truth of it is that there's a predictability about memory. And if there's certain things that you do, certain things that you don't do, certain stresses that are there all the time, memory is going to be challenged. You know, Dr. Zhang, this is an interesting situation for me too, because we're doing this program Wednesday night on brain fog and memory loss. And then a week from this weekend, I'm going to be in Florida at the Florida Chiropractic Physicians Association convention, and I'm going to be teaching a program to about 150 doctors on inflammatory reactions of the brain that have lead to memory deterioration and so forth, and showing them how they can better deal with their patients. And, you know, we're going to deal with our patients and friends of our patients this Wednesday evening. It's going to be fun. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, what happens with the mind. Why do people, in your opinion, why do people begin to lose their recall, their memory? That, you know, we go short-term memory, and then we do long-term memory, and then just we begin to lose the bases across the board. Why do you think that's true? What happens?
Yeah, so when we talk about this topic about brain function, so what would happen, we have to know there's different reasons, different aspects to cause a problem, biochemical problem, structural problem, emotional problem, and also you talk about inflammation. There's a lot of different things causing inflammation. Then the body, the brain has a lot of neurons. The neurons receive the information and process the information, store the information, and I get a recall, callback information. All this in the process has based upon the normal neuron function. If your neuron get inflammation in the brain, for some reason, we'll talk about more reason, for some different reasons, then your body have a hard time, or you have a hard time to receive the information, or you have a hard time to store the information, or you have a hard time to recall the information. Then it can cause the brain fog, it can cause the memory loss, sometimes cause anxiety, depression, all the emotion changes too.
You know, there was an interesting article that I read quite recently. There's a doctor that is quite familiar in our field. His name is Dr. Datis Karazian. And he did a whole presentation some years ago on neurological deterioration. And the one thing that I was aware of, and he brought it out very specifically, was when we're under stress and we continue to be under stress and we don't give ourselves a break and it's a day in and day out situation, regardless of what the triggering mechanism of that stress is, we're firing an organ system called the adrenal glands. And that adrenal system produces very high cortisol levels. And that cortisol begins to destroy neurological tissue as well as other tissue. And there's multiple phases to that. But one of the areas that it destroys is something called the hippocampus of the brain. And you start to see deterioration because of that.
Yeah. And also cortisol, as we talked about, as a cortisol, if a high cortisol can long-term, and that causes insulin resistance. And also affect your brain connect to insulin, and also the brain need a fuel to work. Need a fuel, need a carb, the sugar to work. So hypoglycemia or hyperglycemia is not, neither is good. We want to balance. If you have high stress, high cortisol release, your body have insulin resistance. That means your body have a hard time to balance the sugar, and then it cause the brain fog too.
You know, one of the things that the brain is desperately in need of is vitamin B complexes, particularly thiamine, which is B1. And what we're talking about is that stress level that continues, eats that up. It's like it swallows it, it's gone. And then, you know, we see a depletion across the board. But also the brain is heavily loaded with something called mitochondria. The mitochondria needs certain fuel, right? And the heart and the brain, by the way, are the two most densely populated areas with mitochondrial action. Those are your little energy packs.
Yeah.
And it needs CoQ10, it needs acetyl-L-carnitine, it needs a lot of things of that nature to upregulate it to make it stronger.
Yes, actually the brain uses 20% of the all body energy for mitochondria. So that means 20% mitochondria in the brain can believe that. So this is the truth, this is the fact. But if you have mitochondria depletion, that's the cause of problem.
I want to remind our audience that we're here at 888-630-9625. And if you have a question, give us a call. I'd love to talk to you and answer your question on the air. If you don't think you can't make it this Wednesday evening because we're slammed full house at this point, here's your opportunity. Call us and we'll do it right now, right here. And Wednesday night, for those of you who are going to be here, it's going to be very intense, very in-depth. We're going to give you the reasons. We're going to show you what you can do about it. We're going to show you how to measure it. And there's a test that we're going to talk about on Wednesday evening that will measure the area and deterioration that you have relative to what your memory patterns are in your brain function. Dr. Zhang, get into it a little deeper and tell me what happens. And the more susceptibility people have to certain foods, if you will, cause the brain to begin to deteriorate.
So absolutely, the nutrient wise is very important for the brain. Brain need the fuel to function. So the first cause the food wise, I would say the coffee. A lot of people say, oh, coffee, oh my God, don't take my coffee. Actually, caffeine decreases the baseline of the dopamine and the serotonin. And also it reduces a lot of, and increase the cortisol, and also reduce the antisense, which made less tired throughout the day. So, and the caffeine can cause a lot of hormone change and cause hormone imbalance. And if you lack all the vitamin B or vitamin C, D, or vitamin C, E, K, and omega 3 fatty acids, all this kind of good fat fill up to your brain, and you will lose the brain function too.
Well, you know, and I'm going to play the opposite side of the record for you. There are people out there that will say that coffee, a cup of coffee for you, a cup of green tea is good for your brain. And they'll take the other end of that argument and show you how it upregulates certain communication pieces. Now, I happen to agree with you when it comes to, the chronic use of coffee. You know, somebody sits there and drinks 3, 4, 5, 6 cups of coffee a day. But when you're dealing with a very low acid coffee, something like an organic pure roast or something of that nature, you begin to, and if somebody has a cup of coffee and they drink enough water with it, the biggest problem in addition to what we just talked about with coffee is the dehydration that the caffeine causes, and any caffeine. It doesn't make any difference whether, and here's where we'll get in trouble with other people. It's called chocolates, right? Chocolate has high levels of caffeine, and it's going to affect liver function. It'll affect those things as well. But
and also food-wise, I think the number one reason, probably number one, number two reason is the sugar. And the nutrient sugar causes a lot of brain fog, sugar causes a lot of brain insulin resistance. So that we have a lot of sugar, we have the sugar on the lecture before, we talked more about that already, I think.
Yeah, we've gone over that multiple times. Well, sugar can be a problem. You know what I tell people to think about with sugar is, here's a good visual. Take a cup of sugar, put it in a saucepan, and put it on the stove at the lowest level the stove can, and then just constantly stir it. That sugar turns into a thick, heavy syrup crystallized form. And what happens, that's the way it's stored as well. You know, we go to caffeine, and it we talk about it increases body metabolism, it increases blood flow, it causes a relative infusion, if you will, of different substances. So there's an article that was written by the National Institute of Health that says there's the good news and there's the bad news of caffeine, and there's the good news in that it actually can change the gray matter of the brain, and we'll talk about that Wednesday night, what that really means. But there's some other positive actions. It's the type of coffee. It's the type of stuff in Eastern medicine and Chinese. You drink a lot of green tea and other low levels, but it's very light. It's
or
not
light.
Heavy.
You know, it's all about how much you consume, how many grams, how many ounces you consume. If you drink it once in a while, just like you said, organic coffee or Kona, all these things, it will be fine. But we talk about the long-term chronic.
Hold that thought. We're coming up to a break, and I want to continue this with you. You're listening to Dr. Rizal Live, Dr. Tom Rizal Live, my guest, Dr. Qinglong Zhang. We're talking about your brain and your memory, and we're going to show you how to fix it. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these important messages. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal here. We're talking about your brain today, and which is the topic of our in-house continuing education program this Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at the Rizal Center for Healing. And I normally invite you and say, you know, join us, but we're in a full house already. So those of you who have registered, please be there. If you can't make it for some reason, please let us know that you're not going to be able to be there so we can put somebody else in that seat. But we're excited. It's going to be an amazing opportunity for you to learn a whole lot about your brain. My guest today and my co-presenter this Wednesday evening, Dr. Qinglong Zhang. Dr. Zhang, I want to kind of walk into inflammation of the brain and the inflammatory pathways that are affected, everything from the central brain itself and the spinal cord, and it leads to disease processes over a long period of time. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the triggering mechanisms, but inflammation has a profound effect on the brain, leading to the presentation of certain disease conditions. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yes. So when we talk about inflammation of the brain, we have to talk about the gut. So gut is the second brain. Why we see that? Because over 80% the neurotransmitter, meaning the gut, that goes to brain. So that means if you do not have a good gut function, you cannot absorb all the nutrient to make up the neurotransmitter, and then you don't have enough neurotransmitters go to your brain to let the brain function. So another side, if your gut is not functioning, then it's a leaky gut, because it doesn't work with a leaky gut. So that means when you eat a lot of different food, and then some toxic stuff can leak from the gut, go to light due to the bloodstream. Then the bloodstream can cross your blood brain blood barrier to go to the brain, affect your brain, cause brain inflammation. So that's what we have to be careful what you eat. Now, how can you make sure your gut function is good?
Well, that's the key to so many different things. Your intestinal system is paramount in so many different health conditions, but particularly when it comes to neurological function and brain function, the central nervous system. We look at the brain sometimes as an isolated piece of machinery, but the truth of it is it controls everything, and it has its own communication patterns. It has a tremendous redundancy. What it means is that every piece of the brain has the memory of every other piece of the brain. And that's a holographic model that they came up with many years ago. And the good news is the brain is also plastic. It can be remolded. It can be reorganized, can be retaught no matter what the conditions. We're learning more about that as time goes on. But inflammatory reactions, the conditions that ultimately set the stage for that, things like Alzheimer's that everybody's so desperately afraid of, Parkinson's disease, dementia, what we call cerebellar deterioration. All of these things can, in their initial phases, can cause the body to begin to deteriorate and break down. And the primary initial symptom will be forgetfulness. You know, what did I walk into the room for? Now, fortunately, thank God that it's not the greatest majority of times is not Alzheimer's, but Alzheimer's is growing rapidly. And,
yes,
you know, the confusion with, we're seeing kids today with tremendous amount of lack of focus, lack of attention, and they can't process data, they can't process information. But
yes,
we need to have that stress level to a certain extent, but not always. Let's talk a little bit about the cerebellar degeneration that occurs, you know, the big portion of the brain. It causes all kinds of issues with loss of all kinds of things, from motor function to gait patterns to skills, but also memory patterns. In your opinion, what's the triggering mechanism for some of these things?
So all these things, same thing again, so we talked about it before, can be the structural change, can be the body has a lot of injury, no matter, it's not only because of physical injury, but also mental injury too, and depression causes a problem, causes lower, all these kind of the brain part function problem. And also we talk about the brain, we talk about the work of neuron. So there's a neuron covered by the myelin sheaths on the outside. So the nerve sends the messages along the axon and covered by the fat to isolate and improve the signal. So we talk about the neuron. So when your neuron get affected by no matter what's the reason, and then they lose the function connection to the brain, and the brain lose connection to the body, and the body will function just as you said, function differently, or the motor change, or the emotion change, all these kind of changes can happen when the neuron changes.
You know, when we come back, we have to take a break in a couple of seconds here. When we come back, I want to get a little bit more into the rapidly expanding problem with neurodegeneration. Right now, we have 5 million people that suffer from Alzheimer's. It's projected by 2025 to be well over 7.2 million people. And I want people to think about that. But we're coming up to a break. We'll be right back. We're going to get into much more in depth. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We're talking about a fascinating subject. It's called our brains. Sometimes we say, you know, you don't really don't have one. It's kind of out to lunch. You hung it up someplace. It's not there anymore. Well, there's reasons that your cognitive dependency may not be as acute as it used to be. And that's what we're touching about. And that's the topic of our in-house continuing education program this Wednesday evening that I will be co-teaching with Dr. Zhang. I'd normally say, as I said earlier, join us, but we're a full house. And so I'd like to remind you that if for some reason you registered for the program and you can't make it, please, please, please let us know so we can use that space for somebody else. Looking forward to seeing all of you there. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to show you a couple of things that you'll find interesting. We're going to talk about a test we'll mention a little bit towards the end of the day that we use in office to determine cognitive potential and function and where you might be at this point in time. It's really an interesting process. Dr. Zhang, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, when we're talking about neurodegenerative disease, we're talking about inflammation. And we're talking about inflammation as it relates to trauma and immune response and things that will trigger neurodegenerative disease from heavy metals and poisons and so forth. But there's another piece. There's another piece I want people to be aware of that they may not be totally cognizant of, and that's infection. And it's infection due to a lot of different things, from something that's pathogenic, bacterial, it can be parasitic, it can be viral, it can be fungal. And in today's world, we all know about virus. So let's touch upon that just a little bit today for everybody.
Yeah, so the neurological degenerative change can cause dysphagia by a lot of different things. Alcohol causes that problem too, and especially female over 50 years old has a greater chance to get the neurological degenerative change, because one most common reason is because the B1 deficiency can cause that problem too. And also when there's another piece of the degenerative change, so it's called about gluten sensitivity. So gluten is a huge deal right now for a lot of people right now, cause a lot of brain dysfunction. So that can cause thyroid issue too. Thyroid issue, especially for the Hashimoto problem patient. So if, just like you said, the immune response. If your Hashimoto is autoimmune, gluten cause autoimmune problem, trigger that part of the process. Then the thyroid can reduce, if we go back again, can tremendously reduce the mitochondria in the brain that cause the brain fog too. That's why a lot of thyroid patients also have the brain fog problem too.
You know, the inflammatory reaction that's caused from gluten is very, very specific to the gut. And you talked a little bit earlier that the intestinal tract is the second brain, or the gut is the second brain. And the reason for that, it produces 75 to 80% of all the neurotransmitters that help regulate brain and neurological function. There's something called gliadin ABSIGA antibody response. That's the gluten reaction. And there's actually three very significant forms of gluten proteins. There's other people that'll tell you this, maybe even more than that. But at the end of the day, these things have an impact on the brain, causing the inflammatory reactions, setting the stage for significant degenerative changes. But what we have to do is we have to understand that there's a balancing act. I said a week from this coming weekend, I will be in Florida teaching, and I'm going to be talking about the intimacies of that, from the microglial cells and the astrocytes and how they break down and stimulate the immune responses and cytokines and so forth. But that's for a different level of application. That's like 102.
Go ahead. Okay, you go ahead, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay, so yeah, we talk about this. It's much, much, much deeper. It's more for the doctors to understand better. So, and also, you know, both of us, you know, are not only chiropractors, but also acupuncturists too. So we do the energetic work. So I want to talk a little about from Chinese medicine, from Eastern medicine, how we treat, how we see the brain fog, brain function problem. So, you know, the Chinese medicine, especially acupuncture, been there for 1,000 years. So older Chinese people think people lie because every organ's energy flow in the specific pathway we call a meridian. So if some meridian, just like a plumbing, if something's blocking in a pipe, you cannot get a very smooth stream. You cannot get the water from the faucet. So that means we have to do it from the plumber to open that. Same with the acupuncture. If the energy flow from old Chinese medicine, if energy flow in the body got a blockage there, you cannot get enough energy flow to anywhere the body gets a problem. If you cannot get enough energy flow from the brain, you get a brain problem. The brain needed the energy, to work. So, and from Chinese medicine, the biggest issue is for the brain fog is a kidney function problem. It's the kidney, qi, kidney energy is lower than before. That's why it has a problem.
You know, it's interesting. You look at it from that energetic platform, and the correlation is really, once you understand both sides of the presentation, you can correlate them directly. And each organ system obviously has an energetic expression, if you will, and that expression, if it's gone wrong, any system can trigger an inflammatory reaction within the body. We talked a little bit before about the mitochondria but how it begins to break things down. You know, one of the primary symptoms, if you will, of the very, very beginning stages of neurological problem relating to degeneration is fatigue, and it's brain fatigue. It's a little different, but it affects the entire body. If somebody says that when they stand up, they get tired. If they're sitting down, they don't get tired. That has to do with a part of the brain called the cerebellum. If they sit there reading all the time, it's the frontal and the side portions of the brain towards the back. If, you know, they get writer's cramp, it's the lower portion of the brain. It's called the basal ganglia of the brain, and so forth and so on. You can begin to break down the different parts of the brain that are affected by what the patient tells you. And you know me, that's one of the things I'm always stressing is make sure that you ask the patient the right questions so you can understand where the triggers are, what's happened, and going forward. Yes. Let's take it another step relative to what happens in your world, in the world of Chinese medicine. What tells you that the brain is being affected specifically, or if it's something else that's overwhelming the brain?
Oh, that's a good question. So in Chinese medicine, not only we use a pulse diagnosis, so we put our fingers on the pulse, we check the pulse to see is any pathological change, is a functional change. Then also we ask a lot of questions. We check your tongue. We see your tongue. From your tongue, we can see different organ function too. I will mention it a bit more when the Wednesday lecture, when we see how we can detect from different tongue diagnosis. So then we can see the patient's facial, the face color. We can see the patient, even the hair growing, because we talked about before, so the kidney energy, always go to the brain because, you know, that make the brain work. And also kidney energy can make your hair grow. If somebody lost a lot of hair, and I can tell there's something behind the loss of the hair, behind the kidney energy is not enough, or the thyroid is not enough, then we can find the relation between this, and then to treat the patient, find the cause, treat the patient.
Yeah, it's critical. There's so many different things that take place with the brain, and the expression in your world, you know, from an energetic platform to the way the patient presents in an identifying pattern. For example, you know, we can hard diagnose Alzheimer's disease. We find these things called amyloid plaques and tau proteins that show up. It can be a blood supply problem. We can see somebody who had a small stroke or a transient ischemia stroke, which means it's a mini stroke. Parkinson shows up that way. Even hypothyroidism can cause dementia. You talked a little bit before about, you know, when the TPO levels go up in a Hashimoto's pattern, that's an inflammatory reaction that can cause issues. So what go ahead.
And also, we talk about the cerebellum. I want to see, some people maybe don't know what's the symptoms we have cerebellum degeneration. So cerebellum degeneration, you can see if you have that problem, you can experience the muscle tone, get a little hypomuscle tone, get a little vertigo, kind of, you know, the fine motion skills get decreased, and also have some, you know, the wide gait change, your gait change differently. You know why you suspend maybe my pelvic or maybe this, but sometimes, most of the time, it's because your cerebellum degeneration.
Yeah, that's your ataxia.
Yeah, ataxia. Yeah, correct. Ataxia. And also, same thing, we are chiropractors too. And a lot of young, not only older people have the brain fog and the memory loss that we talked about at the beginning, but also young folks right now has more and more people have brain fog and the memory loss, because just like you said, the basic ganglia, the cortex and the brain and the upper cervical C1, C2, they're so tight and also can squeeze the spinal cord and then make the brain function dysfunctional.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because most people don't realize that posture patterns over a period of time as a result of, I use the term often, laziness, the unwillingness to exercise and stretch and so forth. So over a period of time, you adapt to your work environment. People who are over a computer, usually in a bad posture pattern. People who are working around the house, bad posture pattern. People who are out doing manual labor out on the lawn, bad posture pattern, unless they exercise the muscles that they're not using to pull themselves back up and to do some stretching and do some mobilization. So when they walk in and you have muscles that are too tight or too weak, inhibited, they can cause pressure on that area that you just talked about, on the basal ganglia. And that's, for our listeners, where that is at the base of the brain. That's just as the spinal cord exits from the big hole in the brain called the foramina or foramina magnum, or big hole. It comes down, and that's the area that we're talking about. And that's the area that is your relay center, if you will, relative to information. And if that's impaired because of what you brought up, memory is going to go out the window.
Correct. So that also, for most people, they think of a chiropractic adjustment only for the pain relief or for the, you know, misalignment. There's a yes or no. No, because chiropractic, I had a lecture with Dr. Jose a long time ago in Arizona, the teacher at that time. I remember he said that chiropractic is not for pain relief, for your brain function. Why? Because the nerve come out from the spinal cord. Spinal cord is extension your brain, the brain. So that's why when they adjust you, make a nerve flow better, actually make your brain function better. There's a research in US about a few years ago. They do the research for low back pain after two months of a low back pain, and over 85% of people get depression.
85%,
yes.
Wow, that's depression. A big number.
Yes.
So that means we better get out and start doing something about it. You know, but the truth of it is, we have so many people on prescription drugs for depression and, you know, anxiety levels and so forth. And we just, so much of that can be simply eliminated by exercise. You know, if you got out and you stretched. And the thing of it is, as you brought up, and the research supports it, is that a chiropractic adjustment, moving the vertebrae back into their normal position, allowing the muscles to function normally, dramatically impacts depression and anxiety levels. And if it's done on a preventive basis, it works very, very well. You get a child who is anxious. You get a child who has a, is in a bad mood. And if
ADD, ADHD.
Yes. And you adjust them and guess what happens? They become a very calm, participating human being. It's phenomenal. And it almost happens in front of you.
Exactly. That's why we have a lot of patients come to the office, not for the treatment, not for treatment, but for preventative care, come here, wellness care for every month, every 3-4 weeks, 5 weeks, then get the body regulated, you know, then prevented a lot of different things.
You know, it's interesting. You know, we've talked about what happened to me a couple of years ago, and I've had many blows over the years playing a Division I ball in college and so forth. But the first signs of things not working the way they're supposed to is you begin to see problems finishing tasks. You get tired. You don't want to do it anymore. You know, where you could sit and get it done, it's gone. The misplacing things. What did I do with that? You know, we're going to touch a lot of that on Wednesday evening. This class probably could go to midnight, but we're going to keep it relatively short.
We'll
but
see.
Nevertheless, we're coming up to a break right now. This is fun. We could talk about this all day long. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We'll be right back after some very important messages.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you who are outside the area, you know the drill. And by the way, I just want to thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your letters. Thank you for asking the questions that you asked. I try my best to get back to you as quickly as I can on email. The easy way to find me is simply go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. And you know, you guys that are in the military, you guys that are first responders, I do what I can to make sure that I respond to you first. And simply because without you, we couldn't do what we're doing. I appreciate you. Appreciate all that you do. And please make sure that, you know, you let me know how I can be of service to you. My guest today, Dr. Qinglong Zhang, is going to be my co-presenter this Wednesday evening at the Rizal Center for Healing. We're going to be talking about title program as brain fog and memory loss. But you know me, I'm going to get into so many different aspects of how that neurological function is and why we get a little confused and why our anxiety levels are so high. But more importantly, we're going to talk about what we can do about it, what you can do about it, how you can take control, be aware of. Remember, I've said over the years, my job is to present information that will minimally provoke you. It will make you think, what can I do about what's going on? And here's the thing. What's the driver? Are you willing to do what is necessary to make a difference so you can, in this case, get your cognition back, get rid of the anxiety, get rid of the confusion, clear the air, instead of looking through a veil of fog, making sure that everything is clear, bright, and you're reactive. Dr. Zhang and I are going to go back and forth, and we're going to really get into this in depth. Dr. Zhang, touch upon, and I'm going to talk about it much more when we get into the program, but talk a little bit about the one test that we use on an ongoing basis. We use a urinary neurotransmitter test, which I'm going to talk about, but we also use another test that's really simple that gives us benchmarks of what to do and what's going to go on. We'll tell everybody about that Wednesday night. Why don't you just touch point on it just a little bit?
So you talk about brain span test.
Yes, sir.
So the brain span test is a way to test your brain function, not only from a nutrition wise, but also from a cognitive wise too. So they can have different. They have practical the test for this and the blood test too to show to you. Qualify what's going on with their brain. So everybody said, okay, you said I have brain fog. How can we know? How can we, just like, you know, everybody wants to see the numbers, want to see the qualify. So that's the way you want to do. You want to see how your brain functional, how your brain functional. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good test, and it tells us where down the slippery slope that you might be. We're going to talk to you a little bit about dopamine and serotonin and GABA, theanine, taurine, and so forth, and what those are used for in the brain and why they get depleted and what needs to be done. And it's not just simply taking supplement to make a difference. You know, everybody's out in the marketplace looking for Huperzine, and it has its impact, but it's not not as significant as everybody thinks it might be. There's St. John's wort, which we recently found out has to do with viral impact with Epstein-Barr virus and cytomegalovirus, but it also has the ability to improve memory function and the like. And these small vasal dilators, the things that are necessary to increase circulation. We're going to talk about all of that this weekend. It's this Wednesday evening. I'm moving forward into the next week. I think that's where my head's going. But anyway, it's going to be fun. We're coming up to the end of the program. Thank you for taking the time, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody this Wednesday evening. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Remember, I continue doing this program ongoing for you for one reason only. Not only you deserve it, but I love you all. See you later. Bye.